Please turn to Matthew chapter 28 in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 28, we will read one of the resurrection accounts in the Gospel of Matthew, starting with verse 1 as we begin this morning. Matthew 28, and we will read verses, starting with verse 1, and we'll see how far we go. Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Matthew used his words carefully here. If you go back to chapter 27, he wants to make sure that these two women were identified. Matthew 27 and verse 59, it says, Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. And then back to verse 1 of chapter 28, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. That'll be important as we talk later about witnesses of the resurrection. Verse 2, Matthew 28, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. I understand that to mean that they fainted, passed out, had no consciousness. Verse 5, the angel said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Now, Jesus often told his disciples, and we're going to read this, that he would be killed, he would be crucified, buried, and he would rise again. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Great, great recording of the resurrection, the witness of the resurrection, rather, of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know this story well. The scriptures prophesied that Jesus would suffer and die and then be raised from the dead. God fulfilled his word and raised Jesus from the dead. And many witnesses saw the risen Christ. His resurrection work brought tremendous blessing to his children. All of this was planned before the creation of the world, and it brings glory to God, and that's God's plan, to bring himself glory to through this resurrection and through all of his work. Apostles, disciples, gospel writers, and others believed it was important for this truth to be proclaimed, and they did that, important for it to be recorded. They did that. Important for it to be taught. And most assuredly, to be read and reread. And we're going to do that this morning. We're going to read passages of Scripture that you've read many times before. And so therefore, we'll be rereading many of these verses. And that's something I want to make sure that we note this morning as we go through different truths about the resurrection of Christ, the massive amount of recording of Scripture that has taken place of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all of this brings glory to God, and that's the main point I want us to look at. So we'll look at four different ways that this happens this morning. There are many, many more, I'm sure, as we look at Scripture of the resurrection, but how it all points to God's glory through his work in raising Jesus from the dead. And the first one is this, is that God displays his power through the resurrection of Christ. God displays his power through the resurrection of Christ. Not a new truth to your ears, I'm sure, but it's something that was recorded several times. The fact that God raised Jesus from the dead. No one else can bring people back to life. Only God, and he did so. This is one of the most consistent statements regarding the resurrection, and so often repeated, that God raised Jesus from the dead. God is due glory and adoration for this great work to raise his son from the dead. And we're going to look at those passages now. I encourage you to look at many more. I have many of them recorded for you. We will turn to a few as well. Acts chapter 3, start here in verse 15. You killed the author of life. Now, this is Peter and John. This is the passage you're aware of. The beggar, the cripple that was healed. And in the process of that account, Peter is talking to them. He said, you killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Later in that same account, chapter 4 and verse 10, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Chapter 5 and verse 30, apostles in jail, now brought before the Sanhedrin after they had been jailed, Peter and the other apostles. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. You may have noticed a little bit of a theme in addition to the fact that God raised him from the dead, but the you killed, you crucified. That continues as we read. Acts chapter 10 and verse 39. This, you may remember, is where Peter is at Cornelius' house, the Gentiles, and a group of Gentiles with him. He said, and he's preaching to them, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. There's many more passages. I have some of them listed for you in Acts. We're going to continue. But Acts 13, you could look at these later, verse 30, 33, 34, 37. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. All make this very important truth that we don't want to take for granted. God raised Jesus from the dead. The four passages that we looked at talks about how you killed the author of life. You crucified him, 4 and verse 10. Chapter 5, verse 30, you killed him by hanging him on a tree. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. It's important to note this because we see that God's enemies would try to stop God's plan, but they could not, of course, because God is all-powerful. God's power displayed in the resurrection easily overcomes his enemies' attempts to stop him from fulfilling his word. Let's move on to Romans, more passages to say the same thing. Chapter 4 and verse 23, it was credited to him, the words, it was credited to him, were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. More passages in Romans chapter 8 and chapter 8 verse 11, chapter 10 and verse 9. You can look those up as well because we have other passages that we need to get to. But let's move to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 15. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. And of course that's Paul teaching about the resurrection. Some have challenged, is there really resurrection from the dead? And they're saying, certainly there is. God raised Christ from the dead. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Paul is telling everybody, all the Christians that he writes to about this crucial truth. Galatians, he writes to them, chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. In Ephesians chapter 1, as a matter of fact, let's turn there. Let's turn to this passage together. Ephesians chapter 1. I have verse 19 there, but let's back up from there a little bit. Let's start with verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 1. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. And here is the hope, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. God displays his great power in the resurrection. He also writes to the Colossians the same truth, chapter 2 and verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. The writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 13 and verse 20, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And then Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. It's a great, crucial truth that God has raised Jesus from the dead that brings him glory. We should worship him for it. Never gloss over that. Never take that for granted. Not only in an Easter season, but every season throughout the year. Well, of course, it was not possible that God would not raise his son from the dead and bring him back to life. We were reminded of that this morning. For he said he would in his word. He is sovereign. He does what he wants for his glory. He works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. God glorifies himself with his great power of bringing Jesus back from the dead, but also he displays his sovereignty through the resurrection of Christ. So that's the second point that we'll look at this morning. God is sovereign. He does what he wants. He is all powerful. The death and resurrection of Christ was never a reaction to sin. It wasn't something that happened and God said, oh, I've got to correct something. It was always the plan of a sovereign God. While he was on the earth, Jesus himself often referred to his Father's plan for him. The resurrection and the prophecy of the same brings to light the great sovereignty of God. I'd like us to turn to Isaiah chapter 53, another passage that you have read, and we will reread this morning. We could read the whole chapter, but we'll start in verse 8. Just a reminder, chapter 52 and verse 13, see, my servant will act wisely. This is talking about God's servant, of course, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But we'll start chapter 53 and verse 8 as we see the resurrection here. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was killed. He died. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. He was perfect. Verse 10, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. He was cut off from the land of the living, yet he will see his offspring, prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And the suffering, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Here's a wonderful passage where God shows his sovereignty and talks about his servant who will be cut off from the land of the living, but then he will see the light of life. Great passage of God's sovereignty, his plan, and of course he brought his plan to pass. Luke chapter 18, as we move on through the scriptures, the vast wealth of scripture that we see about the resurrection, verse 31. Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. Everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. Of course, we're looking back at the Old Testament. We talk about the prophets. This is Old Testament prophecy about the Son of Man. And what was that prophecy? Verse 32, he will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. This is, I'm amazed by the tremendous amount of detail in this very terrible description of what's going to happen, but it all did. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. Again, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 46, he told them, this is what is written by the sovereign God who carries out his plan to the letter. This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. We could back up to Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 31, and you'll see all the wills there as well. Verse 32, he will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him. On the third day, he will rise again. On to Matthew, chapter 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. The wills and the must are all part of God's sovereignty and his plan. These things had to take place because God said they would. There are more passages in Matthew, chapter 17 and verse 23, chapter 20 and verse 9. We have more scripture to look at, so we'll move on from here. Back in Acts, chapter 17, as was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue. At this particular point, he's in Thessalonica. And on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and providing that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. Acts 26 and verse 22, I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. God had prophesied all of these things would come to pass, and obviously, they did. We can move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, where Paul writes, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. God foretold in his word that he would raise Jesus from the dead, and he did it. God should be glorified as a sovereign God that is faithful to his word, and he carries it out according to his plan for his glory. Third point, which is very important, God provides the proof of his work by causing many to see the risen Christ. The powerful God said he was going to raise his son from the dead in many different places. He raised his son from the dead. God did. That's recorded for us in many different places in his word. And now in his wisdom, he has caused people to see a risen Christ, the proof of what he said he was going to do. While the chief priests and elders had to devise a plan that relied largely on the eyewitness account of sleeping guards to prove that Jesus had not been raised from the dead, that was their goal, God carried out his plan of causing many people to see the risen Christ to prove that he was indeed risen from the dead. So we will look at passages now that show what God did in his sovereignty to cause people to see the risen Christ. One we read already, but we'll read it again. Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. They were running. Jesus stopped and met them, and they clasped his feet. They saw and touched the risen Christ. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 says, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men, those were the apostles, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. God is providing proof of his great power. Acts 4 and verse 33 says this, and this was a little bit different. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We often think that for something to be proven, you have to see it. But here we see great power had to come from God, given these apostles, given special power to testify of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, so that great power in itself is a proof as well. Acts chapter 10 and verse 39, they killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. Caused him to be seen. That was part of God's plan to show proof of what he did. We read a little bit of 1 Corinthians already. Let's go to that chapter now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As we talk about who has seen the risen Christ and how God caused them to see the risen Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll start with verse 3 again. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 says, for what I received I passed on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. God caused many, many people to see the proof of his great power, to see the proof of his sovereignty that he predicted in his word, he prophesied, and everything that he said came to pass to his glory. Finally, we'll look at this last point. God accomplished eternal blessings for his children through the resurrection. And this is certainly to his glory as well, through the resurrection. We are only alive with Christ, Ephesians chapter 2, because Christ is alive. His resurrection from the dead is the basis for our life in him. And we'll look at several scripture passages for this as well. Romans chapter 6 was mentioned again this morning. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. We have new life because of God's work in the resurrection. Also in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, we read, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." What a tremendous blessing for God's children through the resurrection. Praise and glory be to God. Chapter 10, verse 9. "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Our salvation is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which God predicted and accomplished. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14, "Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence." We have new life. We will be raised from the dead. These are promises from God, and he is faithful to his glory. Chapter 5 and verse 15 of 2 Corinthians, "And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." It's important to note in this verse that we can now live for him. And some people might not see how crucial that is, but before the death, burial, and resurrection, we could only live for ourselves. We only wanted to live for ourselves, but there was no possibility. A life that is lived for the self is empty and is sad. And that's where we were. But because of the resurrection, no longer live for themselves, but for him. What a great blessing that is that comes through God's wonderful power of raising Jesus from the dead. Let's move on. There's more. Ephesians chapter 2. "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms." If Christ had not been raised from the dead, we would not be raised up with Christ. But he is raised from the dead, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And chapter 3 and verse 1 starts out, "Since then you have been raised with Christ." And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14 again, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." What a great blessing that comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ by God the Father. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." New birth into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So much scripture that brings glory to God because of his work, the resurrection. Our sovereign God said that he would do a magnificent work in raising Jesus from the dead. And he did so. He made his power evident by causing hundreds of people to see the risen Christ. As a result, we have been raised with Christ and have new birth, life, and hope. Let's close with this same verse once again. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. By what means? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's pray together. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your great power. You indeed are glorious and to be glorified. Pray that You would use us to bring You honor and glory, and that that would be a great desire in our hearts, above all things, to be used by You, to bring You glory instead of living for ourselves, because now we can live for someone else because of what You have done. We thank You for the mercy that You have shown us. We thank You for the resurrection of Jesus Christ to Your glory. And we thank You in His precious name. Amen.